Stories behind stories.
Izindaba ezingezindaba.
Stories after stories.
Jiri seri kwenyaya.
Amabali angamabali.
Stories about journalism, audio storytelling, and podcasting.
Brought to you by How to Pitch a Podcast in a Pandemic.
Hello and welcome to How to Pitch a Podcast During a Pandemic. This podcast is about pitching for a podcast about a podcast. In the podcast, we capture the process that people undergo for pitching for a podcast. This is brought to you by Journalism and Media Studies students in fourth year majoring in audio. I am your host, Noxolo Manyathi, and one of the students tasked with this podcast. The first episode is about why we are doing a podcast about a podcast. Today, I'm not alone. I'm with my co-host. Please introduce yourself.
Hello, Noxi Unjani.
Ndiyaphila Nkosi Unjani.
Ndiyaphila nam. Kamalam Ndongusake Choni. And I'm one of the JMS students who did this podcast. To follow will be a discussion about why we have decided to do this kind of a podcast and how it would work, to get to know what other people think about this kind of a podcast. And also, what is important to note is that due to COVID-19 regulations, some of the meetings were conducted via the Zoom meetings and some of the quality is not that great.
Okay, thank you so much, Saike. To start our show today, we have a Zoom lecture that was held on the 2nd of August. Jean, who is the lecturer for this ARC, explaining the brief of how to pitch a podcast and what the team will need to do to develop it. This package was edited by Zisanda Solwang.
The idea behind the whole course, and this is important for you to understand today, is there's really two podcasts that we're talking about. The one is the podcast that I'm asking you to pitch. So one assignment in this course is that you're going to be pitching an idea for a podcast. So the brief I'm giving you is I want you to put together a plan for a podcast that the school can start producing long term. So you won't be producing that podcast yourself. You'll just be piloting it. You'll come up with an idea, research it, convince the school that this is how they should do it, figure out the details, think about style and format, and then pitch that idea to the school. You know that the School of Journalism and Media Studies produces a regular magazine about journalism and about journalism education called the Rhodes Journalism Review. It used to be a print publication, and then more recently it's gone online only. In the last year or two, there haven't been many publications of it, partly because of the pandemic and partly because it's getting increasingly difficult for people to find advertising for things like this. So we are in a position at the moment with the Rhodes Journalism Review where we've got to rethink what it is that the RJR is. My thinking is that a podcast can be part of what it is because it has to reinvent itself in the digital age. So that's what we're asking you to pitch, is what could be an RJR podcast? What kind of content should it have? What should it sound like? How should it be produced? Does it have a host? Who is the host? Who are the guests? We're going to ask you to produce one pilot episode to show what an RJR podcast can sound like. So that's one part of the brief for you. So now the question is, how do we do this?
I think it would be useful if we would just think about it. Is there an African identity in podcasting? Is it different to other parts of the world? And if so, how? I think it's just worth thinking about.
I think that's a crucial question. Sibu, what do you think about all of this now? What do you think you've got yourself into?
It's definitely a lot to process, but I think it'll all go in once I read the outline again and read all the information again, and then the understanding will be much easier. But right now, it's just all a bit confusing and understanding at the same time. Yeah, I'm in the middle of it.
Okay.
Yes, I'm still grasping everything.
Mm. Sandiswa, what about you?
It's interesting, but I'm still a bit confused. I'll go through the course outline and read everything thorough.
How did you feel, Saike, when the lecturers explained the course plan?
Well, for me, I would say that it was overwhelming and at the same time exciting. We got a chance to actually talk about what a podcast should be like. And at some point, it didn't make sense for me. But as Jean and the lecturers explained, I did get an idea of what the RJR podcast should be like. And I think that helped in some sense. The idea, at first, it didn't make sense for me. But as Jean and the lecturers had explained, but then that's when I started to get an understanding
At this stage, as we are almost done with the episode and we've come up with content, how do you feel now?
I could say that I'm still confused about what is it that we're expected to do. But while collecting the audios and listening to the interview that we conducted, I could say that it's promising. Podcasting is the future of South African audio right now, and it is something that we are, as a country, are exploring to improve. It's the new way of giving out information.
Following the briefs by Jean, the GMS4 students went to first reflect and ask people about the idea of creating a podcast about a podcast for RJR.
So I think it's a good idea because it gives the listeners an idea of how you go about gathering your content and what happens in the process of you guys producing the content.
I really love the idea of behind the scenes content because I'm someone who likes to know how something is made and what goes into something being made. I think showing an audience what goes into a production also makes them appreciate the effort that someone puts into it as well.
So I like the idea, and I think it's a great idea to have a podcast which accompanies like your main podcast, because it will show your listeners the thought that went in to the content which you guys produced.
I think it's important to let the audience know what challenges had to be overcome in making an episode, the ideas that went into making it.
I think the useful one would be how you guys go about producing the podcast, because you give an idea to us, people pursuing the journalism.
It is a good idea because the world is becoming more virtual and there are higher chances that people might listen rather than read, as a podcast is something you can include in your daily routine as you're doing other activities.
How to pitch a podcast in a pandemic. Capturing stories behind Rhodes Journalism Review.
On the 5th of August, the editorial team of How to Pitch a Podcast in a Pandemic met to discuss the first episode. The meeting included Jean, Stephen, Kyren, and the two editors of the first episode, Noxolo and Saike. And this was edited by Sibusisiwe Khumbatsa.
Okay, it's recording. I think we need to talk about, are we going to get stings, musical jingles that fit in at the beginning? Mm. That's one thing we need to discuss. Another thing we need to discuss is a style of presentation. Are we going to have one person presenting and reading a type of a script, or are we going to have perhaps two people having a conversation and introducing snips? Or alternatively, are we going to have no continuity presentation at all? These are things that we need to discuss. So perhaps we'd like our editors for this particular edition to lead some conversation here with us. Noxolo, Saike?
I think we should include stings and also have a conversation between two people rather than just having one person.
Okay, let's deal with these issues one at a time. With the stings, you think that we should have stings and jingles or whatever. What do other people think about this?
I think also the idea of using stings would work. I'm not sure if we could use our voices to all of us, like in this group, just use our voices as a way to introduce our podcast. Mm.
Do you mean make stings out of people's voices?
Yeah, like a way to introduce the show or the series. Mm.
Yeah. It would be good, Stephen, it would be good to actually get people to listen to some examples of stings. I was thinking about Jane Morgan's work. What she often does is she takes exactly what Saike was talking about now, where she asks people a whole bunch of questions and then she puts all of their answers together, and that becomes the signature for a show.
I think that sounds very positive.
What about the show name? Because that it kind of goes with the jingles and stings.
Absolutely.
I mean, I keep pushing for this idea of calling it How to Pitch a Podcast in a Pandemic. And I suppose people need to decide whether you want to go with that or come up with an alternative. But I think we need to be quite sort of quick and dirty about how we do these things. So rather than trying to do things by committee, you know, that you actually just get it done quite quickly, but creatively and make the right decisions as you go, which I suppose, yeah. So Nokolo and Sake are the people who are in charge right now. So they probably have to be quite hands-on and because the ball is in their court at the moment.
May I have a suggestion? I would think that maybe we could collect maybe all the names and then put it on a link. We as a group could vote on it, and maybe by Friday we could have an agreement on what name we should use.
Okay, Sake, how would you like to coordinate an effort to, as you said, collect all the names together and let's make a decision? Can we put you in charge of that, Sake?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I think that because Nokolo and Sake are actually putting this whole thing, this edition together, we should maybe leave them out of the sting business.
I'd suggest the Yandiswa.
Yandiswa, really? Yes. That's a good idea.
Okay.
So then you put the people on the sting, then Yandiswa taking the lead, and then probably I'm roping in one of the other two other people, maybe.
It's quite difficult doing a sting on your own because it's such a creative process. So it is probably a good idea to say, link Yandiswa and somebody and get them to do it together.
Yes, I agree with you.
And what do we do about language?
My opinion, and this is just an opinion, is that our base language is English. But then when people come in other languages, we can include that, but then use the device of the two people conversing to say, to sort of explain the essentials of what was said without being a translator or anything like that. Just say something like, you know, it was interesting that he said podcasts are not very interesting for urban people, for example.
So it's a bit like a mediator. So you don't translate everything, but you play a bit of a mediating role. Kyron, you've got your hand up.
Are they going to speak only English? Or can they, for example, switch between Xhosa and English? So having, you know, a multilingual podcast where we don't stick to one.
I suppose it goes back to audience. Who do you understand the audience of this background podcast to be? Hey?
Yeah.
Why Stephen is saying the base language is English. It's assuming that there are people in the audience who don't understand anything but English.
Okay, I understand.
I agree with Stephen. To have a mediator rather than translating everything. What the person is saying. So a mediator would be a great idea.
Oh, on that score, Kyron has put in an application through Michael to the university to ask for us to have permission to do that. So, you know, at the moment, we're not supposed to do in-person things, but I think especially if you just have two people who go into the studio at a time, that's quite safe. And I don't think there's going to be any problem with that. I mean, how are you thinking about audience, Sake and Nokolo, for this background podcast?
I think the audience can be people that listen to podcasts already. So they might have an interest of what happens maybe behind the scene or maybe of what it takes to make a podcast.
I also agree with Nokolo because if you are familiar with the podcast, then you might be curious about what's happening behind the scene in terms of building up and producing pitches for a podcast. So I think people who are familiar with the podcast and who do enjoy podcasting.
I think this session that we've had now has been very useful about nuts and bolts putting the stuff together.
At the moment, I could say that I am happy from my side. And I think drawing up the draft for the show would really help in terms of putting it all together.
Great, Sake. Excellent, Nokolo.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks, people.
Overall, how do you feel, Sake, about the process of making this very first episode? Do you think we have achieved the goal? Because for me, at the beginning when Jean briefed us, I felt like this was impossible in a way, but after undergoing this process, I feel like we've done so well as a team and coming up with content, and I'm kind of proud of the work we've done so far, and I feel positive. I think this is something that people can listen. How did you find this whole process?
Yeah, I do agree with you on that point. At first, the information seems to be overwhelming, and we I could say for most of us, we didn't know what was expected of us to create. But as time went by and we had more lecturers and we did consult with the lecturers, we kind of had achieve the goal, which is to make a podcast about a podcast and also to also get people's insight about what they think about this idea. So we did work well and the collaboration was also on point. So I am quite happy with what we have produced so far.
All right, we have come to the end of our first episode. Thank you for joining us. Stay tuned for the next episode, which will be about searching for African storytellers.
Brought to you by How to Pitch a Podcast in a Pandemic.